Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, Lady Esther takes exceptional pride in presenting the Screen Guild players in Philip Barry's delightful modern classic, The Philadelphia Story. And now, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players in The Philadelphia Story.
Hey! Now, just a minute. No, not my golf club.
Oh, you mean this golf club?
Oh, why you?
Tracy Lord, the eldest daughter of in one of Philadelphia's oldest and most prominent mainline families, is getting ready to marry George Kittredge. Tracy's first marriage to C.K. Dexter Haven was dissolved by a vigorous right to the jaw. And now, with the ceremony only days away, the wedding presents are pouring in.
Tracy! Tracy!
Dinah, darling, please, not in the house.
How do you spell omelet?
Who knows?
94 for the ceremony and 506 for the reception. I don't know where we would put them all if it were to rain.
Oh, it won't rain. Tracy wouldn't stand for it.
Mother, how do you spell omelet?
Two L's, two M's, one or the other.
Omelet. That's a funny wedding present.
Dinah, dear, it's an omelet dish.
It stinks.
Oh, darling, don't say stinks. If necessary, smells, but only if absolutely necessary.
These cards have been changed again.
There must be a ghost in the house. Maybe the ghost of bridegroom number one.
Oh, don't talk about Dexter as if he were dead.
He might just as well be, for all Tracy cares.
That's exactly right.
Oh, don't say that.
Mother, if I never see Mr. C.K. Dexter again... Oh, this lamp, isn't it awful?
Here, let me see that card. Oh, yes, friends of your father's.
Wouldn't you know? What are they, tap dancers, or are they just musical comedy producers?
Tracy, that's hardly fair to your father's interest in the arts.
The arts? The art of putting up a fortune to display the shapely legs of some...
That will do, Tracy.
Oh, I give up. Mother, if you would just face the fact squarely as I did.
We both must face the fact that neither one of us proved to be a very great success as a wife.
We just picked the wrong first husbands, that's all.
Well, don't let's argue about it. You wanted me to take a stand, and I've taken it.
It's the only stand a woman could take and keep her self-respect.
Yes, I know, dear. Now I have my self-respect and no husband.
You almost talk as if you wanted him back.
He won't come back, probably.
Hey, it's better this way. Really, you'll see. Forget about the past. We both deserve some happiness now, especially you.
Thank you, darling.
And isn't George an angel?
George is an angel.
Is he handsome or is he not?
George is handsome.
I like Dexter.
Really? Then why don't you stop the wedding?
How?
Get smallpox.
Oh, please, don't give her any ideas.
George isn't usually late.
He's waiting for us at the stables.
Waiting for... Mother, if I don't choke her before Saturday...
It'd postpone the wedding, wouldn't it?
It would not. Be in the car when I get down.
She's so mean about Dexter.
Well, darling, he was rather mean to her.
Did he really sock her?
Dinah, please!
Did he really?
Darling, you go out and wait in the car.
Wow, the papers were full of innuendo.
Of what?
Of innuendo. Cruelty and drunkenness, it said.
Please, dear, in the car.
Mother, why won't Tracy ask her own father to the wedding?
Your sister has very definite ideas about certain things.
She's sort of, well, you know, hard, isn't she?
Certainly not. She just sets exceptionally high standards for herself, that's all. And sometimes, well, other people just aren't able to live up to them.
But don't you think it's stinking not to at least want father here for the wedding?
Yes, darling. Between ourselves, I think it's good and stinking.
I wish something would happen. Nothing ever good happens around here. Mother?
Yes, dear?
How do you get smallpox?
Of course, this wedding is not only the season's most important event to mainline society in Philadelphia, but also very interesting to Screamline journalists in New York. Which brings us to the office of Mr. Kidd. and editor, owner and editor of Spy Magazine.
Liz, you'll take your camera, of course. Mike, you'll take your own special talents.
Where?
Yeah, what's the deal?
Your assignment will be Spy's most sensational achievement, Tracy Lord.
Tracy Lord?
Big game hunting in Africa, fox hunting in Pennsylvania, married on impulse and divorced in a rage, and always unapproachable by the press. The unapproachable Miss Lord.
Now, look here, if you think that we're just going
to... The Philadelphia story, presented for the first time, quote, a wedding day inside mainline society.
Or what the kitchen maid saw through the keyhole, unquote.
You're the writer, Connor. I'm only the publisher.
All right, publisher, take this, quote, no hunter of buckshot in the rear is cagey, crafty Connor, unquote. Close paragraph.
Close job, close bank account. Look, Mr. Kidd, how could we even get inside the estate, let alone the house?
Oh, it's been arranged. Miss Wallace.
Yes, sir.
Send him in, please.
Liz, now, wait a minute. We won't do it. It's degrading, demeaning, undignified.
So is an empty stomach. Now, just relax. We'll have to go in.
I understand. We understand one another.
Quite.
Who are you?
Connor, this gentleman has been employed in our Buenos Aires office. Fortunately, he came up yesterday on the Clipper. I believe he can help us.
How?
Tracy Lord's brother, Junius, is in the American Embassy down there and is an old friend of this gentleman. He'll introduce you to the family as an intimate friend of Junius.
Dear old Junius, hmm? Well, this Tracy Lord, she know you?
Yes.
You might say Tracy and I grew up together.
You might also say you're C.K. Dexter Haven and you were Tracy Lord's first husband.
Yes, you might.
Holy mackerel, what goes on here?
Oh, I remember that honeymoon very well, Mr. Dexter Haven. You and she in a little sailboat, the true love, wasn't it?
That's right. How did you know?
I was the one photographer whose camera you didn't smash. You were terribly nice about it. Just threw it in the ocean.
Oh, one of those, huh?
Yes, that's right. I rather thought our honeymoon was our own business.
Incidentally, he paid for the cameras, Mike. I got a sweet letter of apology, too.
Oh, always the gentleman, huh?
I wouldn't count on that.
Now then, what are the plans? The wedding is Saturday. This is Thursday. They should spend tomorrow night as guests of the Lords.
Now, wait a minute. There's something screwy here. Why is he doing this? And, uh-oh. Oh, I get it, mister. You want to get even with your ex-bride?
As one gentleman to another, that may be exactly what I want. I'll have a car pick you up in North Philadelphia tomorrow noon. Good day.
Well, how do you like that? He walks out on us just as though we were a couple of...
Handkerchief, Mike. There's a little spit in your eye. It shows.
So the next day, Dexter and his snoops arrive at the Lord Mansion. Liz and Mike Connor find themselves ensconced in the south parlor while Dexter prepares for their entrance.
Seems a little cold for the south parlor. Knickknacks, bric-a-brac, signed photographs. Wouldn't you know you'd have to be as rich as the Lords to live in a dump like this?
I wouldn't live in this joint if they paid me.
They won't.
What's this guy Haven up to?
C.K. Dexter Haven.
Yeah, what kind of name is that anyway?
C.K. Dexter Haven. He plays polo. He designs sailboats, classy boats, very upper class.
Oh, don't despair. He's out. Kittredge, man of the people, is in.
Oh, look at this, will you, Liz? What did I tell you? Living room, sitting room, pool, terrace, stables.
That's probably so they can talk to the horses without having them in the house. Mike, don't!
Yes?
This is the bridal suite. Will you send up a couple of caviar sandwiches and a bottle of beer?
What? Who is this?
This is the voice of doom calling. Your days are numbered until the seventh son of the seventh son.
Hello? Hello. What's the matter?
One of the servants have been at the sherry again. I'd better go see.
What in the name of...
Dexter! Dexter, you've come back!
Dinah, my dream girl, my own true love.
It couldn't be. He went away to South America for 2 years.
He wouldn't dare.
Mother, look who's here! Mother, it's Dexter!
Well, hello!
Dexter Haven, you go right back where you came from.
I can't. Dinah says it's too awful here without me. Redhead, if you don't look in the pink... Much too nice for George.
If you think you can walk in here and act
as if... Dexter, tell me, how is Junius?
Oh, Junius is fine. Heartbroken, of course, not to be here for the wedding. I suggested representing him as best man, but...
Dexter, I appreciate your offer, but I'm afraid George would prefer to have his best man sober.
Yes. Well, I'm sure you'll like the people Junius did send.
People that Junius sent, did you say?
Yes, Miss Embry and Mr. Connor. They're waiting now in the South Parlor. You really ought to tell them what rooms they're to have.
Rooms?
Dexter, have you switched from liquor to dope by any chance?
Well, it was Junius' idea, you see. They've been terribly nice to him when they said they were coming to Philadelphia.
Dexter Haven, you're lying. I can always tell.
Can you, Red?
Yes. You have a habit of... Just a minute now. You went to work after the divorce, didn't you?
Not right after. First, I tested several hundred bottles of bourbon.
Yes, but after that, you took a job in South America. Who for?
A magazine.
Ah, and it wasn't it by any chance Spy magazine?
Oh, you're just a massive intuition.
I don't suppose Junius's friends are photographers by any chance.
Well, not exactly by chance.
I thought you were low dex, but I never thought, oh, you.
Oh, you're slipping, Red. I used to be afraid of that look, the withering glance of the goddess.
I didn't think that alcohol would destroy your last shred of decency so soon. I ought to just...
Tracy, please. Dinah, come with me.
Oh, Mother, not yet.
Come along, dear. You're late for your ride.
But, Mother, maybe he's gonna soccer again.
Dexter, I'll have no argument about this. I want those people out of here, and you too.
Yes, Your Majesty, but first, could I interest you in some small blackmail?
No, you... What?
Here you are. Galley proofs. An article complete with snapshots, details, and insinuation ready for publication in Spy about your father and that dancer in New York.
About father and Tina Mara?
Now, quiet. Think of Dinah.
But they can't. They can't publish this, even if it's true. Where did you get these?
Kid, publisher of Spy magazine.
He's got to be stopped.
Well, he is, at least temporarily. That is, if you'll allow those two, Miss Embry and Mr. Connor there, to turn in a story on your wedding. And when Mr. Kidd says story, he means a story.
I'm gonna be sick.
Yes, dear. An intimate day with a society bride.
I am sick.
Well, it's tough, but that's the way it seems to be.
So, I'm to be examined, undressed, and generally humiliated for 15 cents a copy. And you're loving it.
Am I, Red?
Come on, then. Well, Mother, we are hooked.
Are they really reporters?
Not even friends of Junius.
They're not anybody's friends. But where to pretend they are?
But why?
Don't ask me, but there's a good reason, and it's my wedding, so please.
I'll bet it's on account of Father and that dancer in New York.
Dinah, what do you know?
Oh, I listen around.
Oh, is there no such thing as privacy anymore?
Only in bed, Mother, and not always there. Watching every little mannerism, jotting down notes on how we sit, stand, talk, eat, and move.
Well, they do that.
Well, if we have to submit to save Father's face, which incidentally doesn't deserve it, I'll give them a picture of a home life that'll stand their hair on end. Come on, Dinah.
Oh, Dexter, how perfectly dreadful. And what will they say about Seth not being here at his own daughter's wedding?
So in all their fancy finery, toe shoes, and tiaras, the Lord women sweep into the South Parlor to welcome their new, unexpected, and thoroughly unwelcome wedding guests.
Ah, how do you do? Friends of my brother Junius, are you not?
Well,
I'm Dinah Lord. My real name is Diana, but my sister changed it.
I'm Liz Embry, and this is Macaulay Connor.
Je suis enchanté! I spoke French before I spoke English. Can you play the piano? I can, and sing.
Oh, how do you do? I'm Tracy Lord. It's so nice having you. How did you leave Junius?
Oh, we left Junius fine. Say, that little sister
isn't
of yours...
Isn't she a dear? So talented. Junius is such a lamb, isn't he?
Yes, isn't he?
It's a pity none of the male members of the family are going to be here to welcome you.
Where's your father?
Darling Papa, I do hope you'll stay for my wedding.
Yes, we'd like to.
That was more or less the idea.
I'm so glad it occurred to you. The house is rather a mess, of course. Well, I'll have to huddle here and overflow onto the porch. I hope your rooms are comfortable.
Your father's sick, or...
Oh, what a cunning little camera.
I'm afraid I'm an awful nuisance with it.
Well, I hope you'll take loads. Dear Papa and Mama aren't allowing any reporters in, except for that little Mr. Grace who does the social news. Mr. Connor, can you imagine a grown-up man sinking so low?
No, it does seem pretty bad.
You're sort of a writer, aren't you, Mr. Connor?
Well, sort of.
A book?
Mm-hmm.
Under what name do you publish?
My own, Macaulay Connor. Just try and call me that.
Oh, I won't. What's the Macaulay for?
Oh, my father taught English history. I'm Mike to my friends.
Of whom you have many, I'm sure. English history. It's always fascinated me. Cromwell, Robin Hood, Jack the Ripper. Where did he teach? I mean your father.
In a high school in South Bend, Indiana.
South Bend. Sounds like dancing, doesn't it? You must have had a most happy childhood there.
It was terrific.
I'm so glad.
Oh, no, I didn't mean it that way.
I'm so sorry. Why?
Well, lack of wherewithal, I guess.
But that doesn't always cause unhappiness, does it? Not if you're the right kind of man. George Kittredge, my fiancé, he never had anything either, and he... Are either of you married?
No.
No.
You mean you were, but now you're divorced?
Well, the fact is, we...
Come now, Miss Embry, surely you're not ashamed of it.
Of course I'm not ashamed of it.
What?
It was a long time ago. I was just a kid in Duluth.
Well, good heavens, Liz, you never told me.
You never asked.
Well, I know, but...
Joe Smith, hardware.
You're the darndest girl, Liz.
I think I'm sweet.
Ah, Duluth. That's west of here, isn't it?
Sort of. Occasionally we get the breezes.
And this is your first visit to Philadelphia? A quaint old place, don't you think? Full of old relics. How old are you, Mr. Connor?
30.
Really? One book isn't much for a man of 30. I don't mean to criticize. You've probably got other interests outside your work.
None. Oh, I mean unless...
Oh. Oh, how sweet. Are you two going together?
Well, sort of.
Engaged, I presume.
No.
But very much in love.
Well, isn't that a little personal?
Is it? But it's so very interesting. Miss Embry, if a man says he loves a girl, don't you think he ought to marry her?
Hey now, just
Please, Mr. Connor, ask Miss Embry a question.
Well, it depends.
I'm disappointed, Miss Embry. I've been very frank with you. Whatever could be keeping dear Mama? Please, won't you excuse me?
Well, wow.
That's what I say. Who's interviewing who here?
Steady, old girl. Don't let it throw you.
You want to take over?
I want to go home.
Ah, there you are. How do you do? We're so happy to have you. Forgive me for not coming in sooner, but things are in such a state. Tracy, darling, join us. Oh, my little girl, she's going to leave me, you know. Shall we have sherry on the terrace before lunch? Ah, and this is my youngest daughter, Diana.
Yes, we've met.
I do so wish my husband was here to greet you, but he'll be here presently. He's been detained in New York with that lovely dancer, Tina Mara. Do you know her work?
Well, not professionally.
So talented and such a lovely person. But like so many artists, no business sense, none whatever.
Hello, everybody. Hope I'm not late.
You're never late, George. But I have such a lovely surprise. Junius has sent us these two dear people as a wedding present. Miss...
Embry.
Yes. And Mr...
Connor.
He's a writer.
George Kittredge. And any friend of Junius is a friend of mine. How are you, darling?
Much better now that you're here.
How sweet. Say cheese.
Tracy!
Not now, Dinah, darling.
But Tracy...
Say, I'd like to see one of those photos, Miss Embry.
Oh, you will.
Papa!
What?
Darling Papa.
I tried to tell you.
You angel. To get here in time for lunch, isn't he an angel, Mother?
Well, yes.
These are our new friends, Father, Miss Embry and Mr. Connor.
Hello! How do you do?
Lunch is served, madam.
Please, go on into lunch, everyone. I just need a quick word here with dear Papa.
This way, everyone.
Well, my dear?
You weren't invited, but you came anyway, didn't you?
Oh, still a justice with her shining sword, hey, daughter. Who's on the spot?
We are, thanks to you, dear Papa.
The second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in a moment. Tonight, I have some really exciting news for you about a brand new shade of face powder created especially for summer. A new summer tan shade called Malibu Tan. Named after the famous Malibu Beach in California, it's designed to make you look like a divine sun goddess. Malibu Tan is a heavenly shade, soft, subtle, and flattering. It gives your skin a glorified, healthy, suntanned look. The moment you try new Lady Esther Malibu Tan, you'll say it's the most flattering summer tan powder you've ever seen. And the longer you wear it, the better you'll like it, because Malibu Tan will not change its color on your skin. Never turns reddish, never gets that ugly orange tinge. Here at last is a summer tan shade of face powder which holds its true color on your skin. Smart women everywhere will wear the new Malibu Tan this summer. It's the last word in fashion. All your summer clothes will look much smarter if your skin has Malibu Tan's flattering suntanned look. Be sure to wear it for evening wear, too. Malibu Tan flatters your skin at night. When you wear a low-necked, short-sleeved dress, use Malibu Tan on your arms and neck as well as on your face. See what admiring glances you get, and see if your favorite man doesn't say, "You look simply gorgeous tonight." And now, Lady Esther presents the second act of The Philadelphia Story.
Now that Liz and Mike have met the whole family, Tracy decides she wants to find out for herself a little more about Mr. Macaulay Connor down by the pool.
Oh, Mr. Connor, what a nice surprise.
I believe you sent for me.
Did I?
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt your reading. Nothing important, I hope.
You bet. It's very important. It's your book.
Oh? Oh, I didn't know you had it.
Well, I didn't. I sent to the library for it.
Oh. You like it?
I like it very much. These stories are beautiful. Why, Connor, they're almost poetry.
Well, don't kid yourself. They are.
I can't make you out at all now.
Really? I thought I was easy.
So did I. But you're not. You talk so big and tough, and then you write like this. Which is which?
Both, I guess.
No. No, I believe you put the toughness on to save your skin.
Do you?
I know a little about that.
Do you?
Quite a lot, actually. This story, the one called With the Rich and Mighty, I think I like that one best.
Really? I got the title from a Spanish peasant's proverb. With the rich and mighty, always a little patience.
I like that. Tell me something, will you, Connor? When you can write a book like this, how can you possibly do anything else?
Well, you'll never believe it, but there are people in this world who have to work for a living.
Yes, of course, but people buy books, don't they?
Not if there's a library around. That little book of mine represents 2 solid years' work that netted Connor less than $600.
But that shouldn't be.
Unhappily, it is.
What about your Miss Embry?
Well, Miss Embry is in somewhat the same fix. She's a born painter and might be a very important one, but Miss Embry must eat. She also prefers a roof over her head to being out in the rain and snow.
Hey, Connor. I have an idea.
What?
I have the most wonderful little house in Unionville. It's up on a hill with a view that'll knock you silly. I'm never there except for hunting season and not much then, and I'd be so happy if it was of some real use to someone.
Well, I...
There's a brook and a small lake and a patch of woods and in any kind of weather. Well, anyhow, I'm so delighted that I can offer it to you.
Well, it's terribly nice of you, but,
Oh, heck, that's Dexter. Look, stand by, will you, Connor? I don't want to be alone with him.
If you like.
Isn't it lucky that I happen to think of that little house? And don't think I'd intrude or anything. I'd never even come unless expressly invited.
Well, it isn't that.
What is it?
Well, you see, the artist depending on a patron Lady Bountiful, well, it's gone out.
Oh, I see. That wasn't especially kind of you, Mr. Connor. I'm sorry to have seemed patronizing.
Well, now look, I didn't mean
well,
to...
Well, there you are. Found you just where I thought you'd be.
Fancy seeing you here. I'd ask you to join us, but...
Orange juice, certainly.
Don't tell me you've forsaken your beloved whiskey and whiskies.
No, but I think a pale pastel shade would be a better color for me today. How about you, Mr. Connor? You drink, don't you? Alcohol, I mean.
A little.
Only a little, and you a writer. I thought all writers drank to excess and beat their wives. You know, at one time I secretly wanted to be a writer.
Dexter, will you do something for me?
Anything, Red? What?
Crawl into some small hole until after the wedding.
Oh, I couldn't do that. Not at least until I've
Connor,
had the chance
Connor, don't miss a word. Don't miss a word. We're going to talk about me.
Oh, why not? You find the subject fascinating. You're far and away your favorite person in the world. Of course, Mr. Connor, she's generous to a fault.
To a fault, Mr. Connor.
Oh, except to other people's faults. For instance, to what used to be my deep and gorgeous thirst.
That was your problem.
Well, granted, but you took that problem on when you took me, Red. You were no help. You were a scold.
It was disgusting. It made you so unattractive.
A weakness, sure, and strength is her religion, Mr. Connor. She finds human imperfection unforgivable. Well, when I realized I was not expected to be a loving husband and a good companion, but kind of a high priest to a virgin goddess...
Dexter, you...
Well, then my drinks grew more frequent and deeper, that's all.
Connor, don't you let him make you think. Why, he's gone.
I like him.
Dexter, what are you trying to make me out as?
Red, what do you fancy yourself as?
I don't know that I fancy myself.
What are you trying to do with this marriage to George? How can you even think of it?
George Kittredge is everything you're not. He's been poor and he's had to work and he's had to fight for everything, and I love him as I never even began to love you.
Maybe so, but I doubt it. I think it's just a swing from me, but it's too great a swing.
Nonsense.
Well, Kittredge is no great tower of strength, you know, Tracy. He's just a tower.
You hardly know him.
To hardly know him is to know him well. Perhaps it just offends my vanity to have anyone who is even remotely my wife remarry so obviously beneath her.
How dare you in this day and age harbor such an idiotic idea?
I'm not talking about the difference in mind and spirit. You could marry Mac the Night Watchman and I'd cheer for you. Kittredge isn't for you.
You bet he's for me. He's a great man and a good man. Why, already he's of national importance.
You sound like Spy Magazine talking. Yeah, but whatever he is, Toots, he'll have to stick. He'll give you no out, as I did.
I don't require one.
You really are in love?
Yes, I am. And you needn't sound so contemptuous.
No, Red, I'm not. Never of you. You could be the finest woman in the world if you could just learn to have some regard for human frailty. If only you'd slip a little sometimes. But I guess that's hopeless.
Is that all?
Your sense of inner divinity won't allow it. This goddess must and shall remain intact. This woman must represent her class, a special class, the married maidens.
So help me, Dexter, if you say another word.
Tracy, darling, you there by the pool?
George.
Oh, that's the new high priest. I'll run along. Oh, here, Red, I brought you a little wedding present. Sorry I had no ribbon to wrap it up with.
So long, Red.
A present? Oh.
There you are, my dear. I thought I'd run over and... Tracy, aren't you going to say hello?
Yes. Yes, hello, George.
What's that you've got?
Oh, a wedding present from Dext. A picture of the true love. A boat he designed and built himself. We sailed her up the coast of Maine and back the summer we were married. My, she was yaw.
Yaw? What's that?
It means... easy to handle, quick to the helm, fast, bright, everything a boat should be. Until it develops dry rot. Oh, George, let's get away. Away from here, somewhere, somehow, to be useful in the world.
Useful? You, Tracy? Why, I'm going to build you an ivory tower with my own two hands.
Over my dead body.
You mean you've been in an ivory tower for too long?
Well, I mean that and a lot of things.
You know, we're going to represent something, Tracy. You and I and our home, something straight and sound and fine. Then maybe your friend will be less condescending.
Oh, George, you don't really mind him, do you? I mean, the fact of him?
The fact of him? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you know... That he was ever my lord and master? That we were...
I don't believe he ever was, Tracy. Not really. I don't believe that anyone ever was. Or ever will be. That's the wonderful thing about you, Tracy.
What is?
Well, I mean, you're like some marvelous, distant, well, queen, I guess. You're so cool and fine. There's a kind of beautiful purity about you, Tracy, like a... A statue.
George, don't.
Oh, it's grand, Tracy. It's what everybody feels about you. It's why I first worshipped you from afar. First now and always. Only from a little nearer now. Hey, darling?
I don't want to be worshipped. I want to be loved.
Well, you're that too, Tracy. You're that, all right?
No, I mean really loved.
But that goes without saying, Tracy.
No, it's you that doesn't see what I mean.
Well, I better get dressed, darling. I hate to be late. I'll pick you up around 9.
The third act of the Philadelphia story continues in just a moment. Ladies, don't you love this time of the year when everything seems to be taking on new life, new beauty? You know, your skin is changing too, from winter-weary dryness to lovely spring-like freshness. What a pity to hide that fresh young look of the skin awakening to spring with a mask-like face powder. Does the powder you use accent the fresh, delicate tones spring brings to your skin? Or does it hide them, cruelly cover them up making your skin look a little pasty and drab. If you want to keep that springtime look to your skin, to look fresh as a daisy all day long, young and lovely, try Lady Esther Face Powder. Lady Esther Face Powder brings out all the subtle, delicate charm that nature gives your skin this time of the year. Women say it's by far the most flattering face powder they've ever used. You see, Lady Esther Face Powder's unique blend of color and powder particles results in a powder so smooth and fine in texture, it hides little lines and blemishes. So rich and exciting in shade, it adds instant life and beauty to your appearance. Ladies, if you want to see the miracle of springtime take place right on your skin, right before your own mirror, treat yourself to Lady Esther Face Powder.
So, as the hour of the party approaches, people are dressing and preparations are being made. Tracy wanders onto the terrace where her parents are enjoying cocktails and one another.
Tracy, darling, you must get dressed. You don't want to be late.
That fiancé of yours just roared through here on two wheels. Does he by any chance ever walk anywhere?
Oh, Seth, you idiot.
Very amusing, I'm sure. Almost as amusing as you standing there with your arm around Mother.
I find very unamusing the stupid, undignified spectacle we're making of ourselves for the benefit of those two newspaper people.
Whose fault is it?
Well, that's not the point. They can publish anything they like about me. But I insist we tell Mr. Connor and that camera woman that we're all aware of their purpose here.
All right, I'll tell them myself.
It would look better coming from me, don't you think? As at least the titular head of the family?
Oh, of course, and as much as you landed us in it in the first place.
Oh, do keep that note out of your voice, Tracy. It's very unattractive.
Oh, how does your dancer friend talk? Or does she just purr?
Tracy.
Oh, it's quite all right, Margaret.
You've got a heck of a nerve to come back here in your best head of the family manner and make stands and strike attitudes and criticize my fiancé and give orders and mess things up.
Tracy, stop it.
I can't help it. It's sickening. As if he's done nothing at all.
Which happens to be the truth.
Anyway, it's not your affair, Tracy. If it concerns anyone, well, actually, I don't know who it concerns except your father.
Very wise of you, Margaret. What most wives fail to realize is that their husband's philandering has nothing whatsoever to do with them.
Oh, then what has it to do with?
A reluctance to grow old, I think. I suppose the best mainstay a man can have as he gets along in years is a daughter. The right kind of daughter.
How sweet.
Oh, no, no. I'm talking seriously about something I've thought over thoroughly. I've had to. I think a devoted young girl gives a man an illusion that youth is still his.
Very important, I suppose.
Oh, very. Because without her, he might go out in search of his youth. And it's just as important to him as it is to any woman. But with a girl of his own, full of warmth for him, full of foolish, unquestioning, uncritical affection.
None of which I've got.
None. You have a good mind, a pretty face, a disciplined body that does what you tell it. You have everything it takes to make a lovely woman, except the one essential, an understanding heart. And without that, you might just as well be made of bronze.
That's an awful thing to say to anyone.
Yes, it is indeed.
So I'm to blame for Tina Mara, am I?
To a certain extent, I expect you are.
You coward.
No, but better that than a prig or a perennial spinster. However many marriages.
Seth, that's too much.
I'm afraid it's not enough, Margaret. I'm afraid nothing is.
What? What did you say I was?
Do you want me to repeat it?
Prig? And, you mean you think I think I'm some kind of a goddess or something?
If your ego wants it that way, yes. Also, you've been talking like a jealous woman.
What is the matter with everyone all at once anyhow?
My first party in about time. Can I have a cocktail?
Certainly not.
You look adorable, Dinah.
Tracy, you must dress.
Mr. and Mrs. Lord, Miss Embry and I have something on our mind.
Splendid.
We'd like to say something.
Won't you have some champagne?
I'd like to say...
I have something to say first. You are Miss Embry of Spy Magazine?
Well, now you know.
I was going to tell you.
Now, as to the reasons
Seth,
that...
we really should be leaving for the party. Please take Miss Embry and Mr. Connor in your car. Dinah, come with me.
I know there's something in the air because I'm being taken away.
Miss Embry, After you.
You aren't even dressed.
You go ahead. I'll follow along with George.
What's the matter with Tracy?
You tell me, Mike.
Darned if I know. I'd like to.
Connor, do you ever take a drink?
A drink? Oh, yes. Yes. Sometimes.
That's good. Let's go in and open a bottle of champagne.
Well, that bottle of champagne was just the first. Later at the party on a neighboring estate, Tracy and Mike sampled quite a few more until George departed in a huff and left Mike to escort Tracy home. That's where we find them now, just arriving with a bottle they brought along for the road.
Well, well, here we are, Professor.
Well, you know, it's funny. I never noticed this light before.
Silly, that's the swimming pool.
Oh, no. You know, champagne is tricky. I'm used to bourbon. Bourbon's a slap on the back. Champagne's a heavy mist before my eyes.
A quick swim will fix that. Dexter and I always swim after parties.
Let's forget about Dexter. Have a drink.
Why not? Mike? Mike, do you hear a telephone ringing?
I did a little while ago. No, I can't. Well, now, yes, I do. No. Well, it's very far away.
That's my bedroom telephone. And it's probably George. I'd better go in. No? No, it stopped.
Fine. Drink your champagne.
That's a good idea. Hello, you.
Hello.
You look fine.
I feel fine.
Did you like the party?
Sure. The prettiest sight in this fine, pretty world. The privileged class enjoying its privileges. Privileged benefits.
You're a snob, Connor.
No doubt. No doubt. Hey, Tracy. Hey, you can't marry that guy.
George? I'm going to. Why not?
You don't match up.
Professor, you're stepping out of character.
No, my mistake.
Oh, don't apologize.
Who's apologizing?
Really? I never knew such a man.
Well, I guess I never knew a girl like you. Tracy.
Yeah?
Tracy, you're wonderful. There's a magnificence in you.
Mike.
A magnificence that comes out of your eyes and in your voice and in the way you stand and in the way you walk. And there's fires banked down in you, Tracy. Hearth fires and holocausts.
Mike, you don't think I'm like a goddess?
You're flesh and blood. That's the blank unholy surprise. You're the golden girl, Tracy. You're full of life and warmth and delight. Hey, what goes on? You got tears in your eyes.
Shut up. Oh, Mike, keep talking, will you?
What good is talk? Tracy.
Ooh. Oh, golly. Golly Moses, nobody's ever kissed me like that.
Tracy, I want to tell you something.
Please, all of a sudden I've got the shakes.
Please, Tracy.
It's as though my insteps were melting away. Gee, what is it? Have I got feet of clay or something?
Tracy, you're so lovely.
Wait, I know. The pool. There's a moon out and it's warm and we could go.
What, now?
Now, Mike, put me in your pocket and let's go swimming.
Do you sometimes wake up feeling headachy, sore, aching muscles, and upset stomach? Then it's time to try a glass of pleasant-tasting, sparkling Alka-Seltzer. Simply take a glass of water, drop in 2 Alka-Seltzer tablets, and listen for that refreshing sound. That means Alka-Seltzer is ready to go to work. Cold got you down? Get plenty of rest. Keep warm, eat properly, and take Alka-Seltzer for quick relief. Speedy relief with Alka-Seltzer. Try it, won't you?
Don't you see, Dexter? I had to tell someone. Oh, I could hardly wait till you got here this morning.
Yes, but Dinah, my love, are you sure it wasn't just a dream?
Well, I can't be positive, but I do know that...
Good morning.
What? Oh, the bride.
In her wedding dress.
Such a lovely day. Is everybody fine? That's fine.
How fine are you?
I don't know what's the matter with me. I can hardly open my eyes. I must have had too much sun yesterday.
It's awfully easy to get too much.
Tracy, you're not really going to, are you?
Going to what?
Marry George. After last night?
Last night? What are you talking about?
Tracy, don't you even remember?
Remember what?
I've been telling Dinah. It was just a dream.
A dream? What kind of a dream?
Well, last night it was awful late, I guess. I woke up and looked out of my window, and guess what I saw?
What?
Mr. Connor.
Mike?
Uh-huh. Sort of coming from the pool with both arms full of something. What do you think it turned out to be?
What?
You. And some clothes. And you were sort of... crooning.
Well, I never crooned in my life. Then what?
Then he carried you into the house, and I could hear him take you into your room.
Mike and me? Oh, well, I'm going crazy. I'm standing here on my own two hands and going crazy. What else?
Well, after that, he came back out.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, well, morning, Connor. How do you feel? Well?
Mike, what's happened to your chin?
My chin? Oh, well, you see...
Tracy, I didn't get to tell you. When Mr. Connor came out again, George was waiting for him.
No.
Yes. And Mr. Connor sort of got sucked on the chin.
George?
No, me.
You? Dex, you were there too? Good grief, why didn't you sell tickets?
I'll say Dexter was there. What a clip he gave me.
I'm sorry, Mike. I thought I'd better hit you before George did. He's in better shape than I am.
Dex? Mike? Will somebody please tell me what happened before I go stark raving mad?
On the level, you don't know?
Of course I don't know. I don't remember anything.
Oh, lucky Tracy. She's drawn a blank.
Shut up, Dext. Mike, you tell me.
Well, you see...
Tracy, are you ready, darling? The guests are all here and the bishop's waiting. Oh, dear. Where's George? George? Oh, good heavens, Tracy, I forgot. He was here at 10 and left this note.
For me?
Go on, read it out loud, Red. We're all friends.
Yes, I will. Listen to this. Quote, "Your conduct last night was so shocking to my ideals of womanhood and my attitude towards you and the prospects of a happy and useful life together."
Tracy!
Hello, George.
Tracy, I didn't dream you in front of all these people.
Why? It's only a letter from a friend. They're my friends, too.
I thought I ought to come and explain. I mean...
It's clear enough, George. You're chucking me over and good riddance.
Well, after all, I have a point, you know? On the very eve of our marriage...
Just a minute, George. Mike, why don't you tell him what happened last night?
Well, exactly 2 kisses and 1 late swim, after which I deposited Tracy in her room and I left.
You mean to tell me that's all there was to it?
I do.
Why? Was I so terribly unattractive, Mike? So distant, so forbidding that you...
Well, no. You were extremely attractive and far from distant or forbidding, but you were also, well...
Pretty pixelated, Red.
Yeah, and there are rules about that.
Thank you, Mike. I think men are wonderful.
Tracy, perhaps I was a little hasty, but, well, a man does expect his wife to...
To behave herself, naturally.
To behave herself naturally?
Will you please?
Well, I'm sorry.
Tracy, if you're willing to let bygones be bygones, what do you say?
Goodbye, George.
I beg your pardon?
I said goodbye.
But we can't let this...
You see, you're much too good for me, George. You're 100 times too good. And I'd make you most unhappy, most.
Very well. That's how you want it. Possibly it's just as well. Good day.
Well, congratulations, Red. Or is that proper without a groom?
Maybe we can make it proper. Tracy?
Yes, Mike?
I got you into this and I'll get you out. Will you marry me, Tracy?
No, Mike. Thank you, but no.
Why not?
Because I don't think that nice girl with the camera would like it. And I'm not sure that you would, and I'm even a little doubtful about myself.
There goes your wedding music, Tracy.
And besides, I made a mistake yesterday. I opened a wedding present too soon. A present without any ribbons on it.
Red.
Just a picture of a boat. A boat I don't think I've ever forgotten.
Red, I've got an old wedding license. The one we didn't use when we eloped. What do you say?
Dext? Dext, are you sure?
Not in the least. But I'll risk it. Will you?
And you wouldn't be doing it just to save my face.
Oh, why shouldn't I save it? It's a nice little face.
Oh, Dext. I'll be y'all this time, darling. I promise I'll be y'all.
Be whatever you like. You're my redhead. You all set?
All set? Oh, never have I been so full of love. Mike, how do I look?
Like a queen. Like a goddess.
That's funny, Mike. Because you know how I feel? For the first time in my life, like a human being.
Tonight's show has been brought to you by Lady Esther Face Powder. America's most beautiful women wear Lady Esther Face Powder. Don't miss the Gene Autry Show with its adventures and melodies. And this Saturday, Tarzan finds thrilling adventure in the heart of Africa. Sunday night is comedy with Fred Allen and Jack Benny. Then there's still another exciting experience awaiting you with Marshal Matt Dillon on Gunsmoke. Yes, they're all yours for gripping weekend shows on most of these same stations. This is your announcer, Bob Dutton, speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you and good night. This is OTARP, the on-the-air radio players network.
Screen Guild Players, The Philadelphia Story, originally broadcast May 17, 1947, has been a production of the on-the-air radio players and is sponsored by the Henrico County Department of Recreation and Parks. The voices and sound effects for tonight's show were provided by Bob Dutton, Deborah Dudak-May, Dan Cranston, Albert Allen, Carol Andrews, Emma Fulmer, Sean Hambright, Art Trotter, and Allison Hrasnick. Original music has been furnished by Brett Zwerdling. The Philadelphia Story was directed by Jeff Clevenger. Script editing by Bob Dutton and Laurie Fulmer. Our production manager and recording engineer is Brett Zwerdling. Tonight's sound engineer has been Devin Langston. Be sure to join us again June 8th and 9th as the studio audience here at Cultural Arts Center at Glen Allen for the next production of the On the Air Radio Players when we present Lux Radio Theater's My Man Godfrey. Visit our website www.otarp.com to learn more about the On the Air Radio Players. You'll find information on future shows, including audition and show dates. You can also download past productions such as The Maltese Falcon, The Thin Man, and Fright Night double feature Dracula and Frankenstein. This is your announcer, Vaughn Gary, speaking. Good night and happy listening. I think you all need a nap after that.